Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Ask Him to help us to receive from Him today. Father, we thank You and praise You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word, the entrance of therein gives light and gives understanding unto each of us. So today, we thank You for eyes to see and ears to hear. And by being doers of the Word and not hearers only, we shall be blessed in our deeds. Thank You for the good ground every person is. And we thank You they'll bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And for all of this, we give You praise, glory, and honor for it in Jesus' name. And everyone agreed with that said, amen. Well, you may be seated. Praise the Lord. We'll continue our Redemptive Truth series today by defining what redemptive truth is again. So we're going to put up slide 23. And redemptive truth, I'm reminding us, for all those that have been here from the beginning of the year to if you're here for the very first time, the importance of redemptive truth. For redemptive truth is what God has said He has done through Jesus Christ to provide victory for all mankind over Satan and his works. And that, of course, would mean victory over all. Everybody say all. All that came because of the fall of man. We got to understand when man fell in Genesis chapter 3, there was much that transpired, and with it came Satan's dominion over man. And this means that redemptive truth lets us know that we have victory over what that fall brought. And so the fall brought sin, sickness, Satan, disease, poverty, lack, want, fear, failure, weakness, brought all those things. Satan is evil spirits. We have to understand that redemptive truth is about what God did about that, so we're no longer in bondage to that. Amen. And we properly understand redemptive truth when we hear the words, listen, redemption, redeem, or redemptive, we're taught to think what?
Victory.
Not only just the word victory, but whose victory? Our victory. Amen. So redemptive truth, the word redemptive is a big word, but when we hear these, the word redemptive, redeem, we think about what it really is conveying, our victory over all the powers of darkness. Amen. Slide 32, we're going to put up, it says, our understanding of redemptive truth will determine whether we view Satan as a superior pro or a defeated foe. And this is what I want to talk to us about today, for we will entitle today's message, Superior Pro or Defeated Foe. Now, what we're going to do is, I will not finish today, but we're going to begin by looking at some important things that should inspire us and help us to see the victory that was won for us over Satan through Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you know that as a believer, we're to only think of and view Satan as a defeated foe? Amen. However, really, even in the church world, is a novel thought for many believers because they have come, even if it's not knowingly, they have come to view Satan as a superior pro. But I want us to know that him not being a superior pro but a defeated foe should not be a novel or a new thought to us. It should be something that we are settled in, and if we're not, I'm going to help you over these couple messages to understand that. Amen. Viewing Satan as a defeated foe is redemptive thinking. Amen. And a redemptive truth that we believers are to live by. Amen. It is part of redemptive truth that you and I are called by God to learn. Amen. And while it's true that unbelievers, the lost, are really under the control of Satan, the god of this world system. For every believer in Jesus Christ, Satan's power and jurisdiction no longer holds sway over them or over us if we know the truth and act on it. So the truth is, the world is under sway of Satan's control. But the truth is also that because of redemption, no longer does Satan hold jurisdiction or sway over the believer's life. He is not a superior pro. He is rather a defeated foe. And we must understand that and understand what it means. For those in Christ are saved. We are delivered and free, all because we have been redeemed. This is what redemptive truth is all about, and redemptive thinking, and why that's so important. Because if we don't think right, we don't believe right. And if we don't think and believe right, we don't talk right. And if we don't think, believe, and talk right, we get the wrong results. But by knowing redemptive truth, then we start thinking redemptively. And when I say the word redemption, redemptive or redeemed, you think what? Victory. Your victory because of what Christ has already done for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His shed blood. You know, the purpose of God's word, the gospel, is to inform people of what's available to them if they lack Jesus Christ and are still lost. And that same gospel reveals to every believer what already belongs to them because they have been saved and redeemed by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. See, one, the gospel is the same, but the difference is it makes a lost and dying world know what's available to them. To the believer, it makes them know what already belongs to them, what they possess in Christ. Not that we have to pray for it. You know, many times you're going to find that Christians are praying for what already belongs to them. When God wants us to know the truth and simply receive it, confess it, walk in it. Amen. And this is really what this whole redemptive truth series is about, because it's causing us to think redemptively. And if we don't think redemptively, we don't believe redemptively. And if we don't believe redemptively, we won't live redemptively. And if we live redemptively, we will walk in the victory that God wrought for us in Christ. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. You see, all redemptive blessings have been bought and paid for by Jesus Christ's blood. And those blessings are part of our salvation's inheritance in Christ. So let me prove this to you by the scripture. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Why don't you turn that with me? It says, who have delivered us. Who's delivered us? Jesus Christ. Who have delivered us from the authority, one translation says, the dominion of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have our redemption, or you could say our victory, through His shed blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How many know that we need the forgiveness of sins? Redemption bought that. But redemption bought so much more than just the forgiveness of our sins. In Christ, we have redemption, which is victory. And it means that when we receive Christ, God delivered us out from the dominion of darkness and the power of Satan, sin, control of evil spirits, of all that it brought in the fall, sin, sickness, come on. Poverty, lack, want, fear, failure, weakness. According to God, He delivered us from all of those things. It's up to us to know the truth and receive the truth, and by knowing it, we shall be set free. See, we have to understand that God did something for us. And it's more, see, the devil don't care if you just get saved and say, well, I've been forgiven and I'm going to hold on until I can make it. It's all going to get better one day when we get to heaven. Well, we all know it's going to get better when we get to heaven. But God didn't send His Son Jesus Christ to die so that it would be butter, just butter when we get to heaven. He sent him and he did all that work so that it would affect our life right now. So that we live differently in this life and it will transform us here so we can transform other people's life through the good news of Jesus Christ, and then we're prepared and we go to heaven in victory. Not because we're defeated and get there early. Come on, I'm not trying to beat anybody up or to say that can happen. I realize that. But God wants us to know the truth, because it's by knowing the truth will set us free. See, unconsciously, much of the church world really views Satan, and I won't be able to get into all this today. They really view Satan as a superior pro, not a defeated foe. How do we know that? By how people live, how they talk, and what they believe about him. Most people, many believers, have more faith in what Satan said to them than what God said to them. How do I know that? I hear people say all the time, well, the devil told me this, or the devil said that, or the devil did this, or the devil did that, or the devil told me that. Shh. Come on. Stop repeating what the devil said, because everything he ever said to you is a lie. Jesus said he is a liar and the father of lies, and he knows no other else but to lie to you. His power over you, which we'll find out about it in just one moment, has everything to do about lies. But if we would just say, I'm not listening. Matter of fact, why don't we just turn around and say, if the devil really did tell me that, it means the truth is exactly opposite. We should get up and begin to dance and rejoice. He said you're going to die with cancer. You're going to rise up and say, because I got big Christ in me, I'm going to live. I'm going to live and I'm making a difference in somebody else's life, bless God. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. You see, we got to get out of our wrong thinking that whether we say he's a superior pro, we're thinking that he is. Oh my goodness, I would never say that, you know, I'm healed, Pastor, because I feel sick. Well, how are you going to change the facts? How are you going to change the facts? You change the facts with the truth. Facts submit themselves to truth. And if you don't declare what God says about you, no one else can. See, we must understand that God has not only forgiven us, and we are new creatures in Christ. Thank God for that. But everything that he died to bring us is ours too. It's called an inheritance. An inheritance. And you know what? I congratulate you today, because you could be anywhere in the world, but you're here today. And you came to the reading of the will, so you will know what your inheritance is. In Ephesians, why don't you turn there, chapter 1, verse 13, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, come on, who hath, it's past tense, has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Woo, glory to God. Notice it says, who hath blessed us. Not going to. See, most Christians are praying for God to bless them. God said, why don't we just accept what God has given and find out what he's given and begin to rise up and say, no, this belongs to me. This is my inheritance. And when you find out, Satan is trying to come and to keep you either from knowing your inheritance or keeping you from receiving it. But no, he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And see, here's what a lot of people miss it at. They get heavenly minded here and they say, well, see, my blessings are in heaven. No, it says heaven is the source of every blessing that belongs to you right now. Because let me tell you something, everything that Christ has and everything that heaven has belongs to you and I as believers in Christ Jesus. Blessed be the God. See, when man blesses God, here's how man does it. He does it by the active appropriation of worship and thanksgiving. We bless God with words and honor him with our lives. That's how we bless God, and through obedience. But when God blesses man, there is a conference of active benefits that he gives upon people so that we can enjoy what he calls an inheritance, a one that is great, immeasurable, and great. It contains everything that was willed by God for us to have. So whatever Christ has and whatever heaven has belongs to us because we're in Christ and Christ is in us. Make no mistake about it, as believers, we must know our inheritance and we must know what it means for us. One thing it means is our opposition, even though it comes from a defeated foe and not a superior pro. Satan has a legal right over the sinner, every lost person. He does have a legal right over every sinner, every lost person, but not the informed believer. He doesn't have it over the informed believer, over the informed believer who knows the truth and walks in it. And I must see him as Satan as the defeated foe, for he will either be to me a superior pro or a defeated foe based upon how I view him. Right now, every day, whether we know it or not, you and I each are facing a spiritual battle. You know, a lot of times people don't even know they're in a spiritual battle. But I can tell you, most of you realize there's something going on. Something outside of the influence of this world. Something that's influencing this world from an unseen world. And we understand that. So we need to, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to do two things in endeavoring to close this message out today. Two things. We're going to define who our real enemy is. We need to know who our real enemy is. And I got a clue to you. It's not the person sitting next to you or behind you. It's not your neighbor next door. Amen. So we're going to find out, number one, who our real enemy is, and number two, what power he really has against us. So let's talk about who he is, who our enemy is. Jesus said it best in John 10:10, the thief, he calls Satan the thief. The thief comes only but to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. God wants us to enjoy abundant life here on this earth. Amen. Matter of fact, one translation says, life in all its fullness, life to it overflows, a super abundant life. So in other words, there would be joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy we sang about today should be in our life. But Jesus said Satan comes to take that away. Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy in our lives. So let's talk about that one moment, because he does those three things. The word steal is from a word that we have, that English word, kleptomaniac. You know what a kleptomaniac is? A person that is a pickpocket. A person that goes into a place and is sleight of hand. They steal. But you know, what he's saying is, Satan is works, his classic work is to steal from you what your inheritance is. To steal from you the truth we're talking about. To steal from you what you received in salvation. To steal from you, to take it right away from you without you even realize it's being done. How's he going to do that? Through suggestions, through thoughts, through things you see? He's going to do that. That's what the word steal means. He's a pickpocket. He's a thief. The word kill is actually a word that's very interesting. It actually is used all through the scripture for the word sacrifice. So it implies a sacrifice, like a sacrifice of an offering. Like under the Old Testament, they killed an animal as a sacrifice. Today we gave offerings, a sacrifice, something we sacrifice to give to God. But see, Satan, why did Jesus use this word? Because Satan is so crafty, his goal is, not only will he try to steal what you have, he also works in such a way that you will sacrifice or give up this great inheritance that God has already given you because he's talked you out of what belongs to you. So, you know, you can actually give up, you can actually sacrifice or give away what God has freely given. That's what this word kill actually means. But make no mistake about it, it's all to do the third thing, which is destroy, which means to annihilate and destroy your life utterly, to make it nothing, of no count. That's what he wants to do. Ultimately, he wants to do that in believers' life. So you're so mad at God, you're so offended at God that you actually digress, and over a period of time that you would actually turn your back on God. Can that happen? Absolutely. It shouldn't, but it can. This is why this is so dangerous. And this is why we need to know who our enemy is. Where we also find this is in 1 Peter, a great example of this. 1 Peter chapter 5, turn there with me if you would. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Here's what it says. What are we trying to do? We're trying to identify our real enemy. I'm reminding you again, it is not your spouse. It is not the person in this room. It's he is alive, even though he's invisible to your eyes. He's alive. His name is Satan and those evil spirits. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Notice, he's called an adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. We're going to break down this verse for a moment because we're talking about who our enemy is. He's called an adversary. You know what an adversary is? And he defines it as the devil. But notice, the scripture is saying he's an adversary. Adversary is an opponent. It is one arrayed against you. Get this through your head. Satan doesn't love you for 1 minute. He hates your guts. He is your opponent. He is your adversary, and he's arrayed against you. And everything he's done is to oppose us. Your adversary, the devil. Everybody say the devil. What we have to understand here, God defines here this adversary, the devil lets us know. But did you know that the word devil is really is a job description? It defines really what Satan does. The word that we use for devil is the word diabolos. So let me explain that it is showing us his adversary's or Satan's job description. It defines what he does against us. So the word diabolos is a compound word. D-I-A means it carries the idea of penetration or to actually go through something. You get that? It carries the idea of penetration or actually to go through something. And the word bolos, the other half of the word, the compound word, means to cast or to throw repeatedly at. So when you put the word together, it actually tells us that who the devil's job description. Here's what Satan does. He repeatedly and often throws or casts thoughts at our mind over and over and over and over, just like if we threw it at a glass wall, a stone at a glass wall, to penetrate through. He throws those thoughts and those suggestions against our mind to break through. To break through our mental capabilities so that he actually penetrates through our mind and gets to our heart so that we see him as a superior pro and no longer a defeated foe. That's what it means. Wow. And he says, notice, be sober, that means of right mind, village, alert to this. This is how he operates. And he's as a roaring lion. How many know it says as a roaring lion? He's not a roar, as a roaring lion. He walks about seeking, here's the key, who he may, everybody say may. May what? Devour. See, he walks about seeking who he may devour. This is really important for us to understand because he can't just do anything. He's always looking for an open door. He's looking for those he may devour. So there's two primary ways that he may devour a believer. Number one, through sin. If you want to live in sin consistently, do things your way and away from God's way, you'll open the door so he can devour. See, he's looking who he may devour. It implies he can't just devour anyone without permission. So we get permission either through our sin or disobedience to God, or here's the second way. Because most of you are not walking in willful disobedience and sin against God. So you say, well, how does he devour my life then? Through consent. That's how he does it. The majority of the church world, he operates against through consent. Woo! In other words, we allow him to. We allow him to. We allow him to. Because who you don't resist, you have just allowed. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. We'll go to verse 9. We'll talk about that a little bit more and make it clearer for you in just a bit. But notice verse 9, it goes on, it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother that are in the world. The last half of that verse just lets us know we all go through tests, trials, and tribulations. No matter who it is, whether it's myself, you, Pastor Andrew, or anybody else, we all go through certain, it says afflictions, that means tests and trials. We go through certain things. And so they're not common or just us. See, a lot of times we think when we're going through something, here's how the devil gains the upper hand. He makes us think that we're the only one ever going through anything like that. But he's a liar. I mean, people are going through stuff all the time. You mean, Pastor Chris, that you actually go through some things? You act like nothing ever happens. Well, things can happen all the time, but I don't magnify them. I go to the answer, magnify the answer, because the truth changed the facts. And that's what we have to learn to do. So notice whom, talking about Satan, resist steadfast in the faith. The word, notice resist. Steadfast in the faith. Actually, other translation says, in your faith. In your faith. Because that's who you're going to... See, listen. You got to resist Satan in your faith. Resist. To actively oppose. To push back. Amen. And when we don't resist, we consent. Well, I never heard anything like that, Pastor Chris. I just try to hide out, and that's why the devil keeps beating you up. I don't do anything about it. I didn't think I was supposed to. I just pray to God and say, God, you do something with the devil. Well, I want us to know there's nowhere in the New Testament that God tells us, that the Word tells us we to ask God to do anything about the devil. But it repeatedly tells us to do something about the devil and tells us if we don't as believers, nothing will happen. You know why? Because Jesus has already done everything he's going to do about that to the devil until the end when he comes in and binds him and throws him into the bottomless pit. Come on. That angel will. Because he's already defeated him. For every believer, now every believer, he expects to exercise authority over the devil just like Jesus did. Now we're going to, see, I don't have time to put all the pieces together, but the next time we come together, you say, well, how can Satan have a legal right to still do this? If Jesus defeated Satan, then how does he have a legal right here? Well, I don't have time to explain it all today, but number one, it's because of Adam's sin. And until Adam's lease runs out, then Adam has a legal right here. And just like he came against Jesus, Jesus taught us how to overcome. But then Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, the shed blood of his shed blood, not only defeated the devil, he defeated him for us. Now, the whole world lies in darkness, is under his control, but not us, not as believers. He has no authority over us unless we consent. He has no more authority over us than he has over Jesus Christ if we know it and begin to walk in this truth. Hallelujah. So whom resist steadfast in your faith? And when we don't resist, we just consent it. In other words, when bad things happen and we just sit there and say, oh my God, what am I going to do now? You're consenting the whole time. Shut the door and say, devil, I resist you. You got to talk to sickness. You got to talk to those bad thoughts. You got to talk to that pain. You got to talk to the opposition. You got to talk to that lack that's trying to get in your life. Come on. You say, no, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. I bind you in Jesus' name. Devil, you take your hands off. I resist you in the name of Jesus. Then begin to speak and declare the word of God. James 4:7, turn with me there. It says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. See, a lot of times, now notice the word resist there. It should imply, or it should, we should know it implies, you resist the devil. God can't resist the devil for you, and he won't. He expects us to. Well, Pastor Chris, that sounds different than anything I've ever heard. I know, that's why I'm talking about it. This is why we're defeated, because we think God's going to do something the devil for us when we're to do something about the devil. And we got to teach our children this. See, too many times the church world is asking God to do something that he told us to do. And God always tells us to do something about the devil. He's done everything he's going to do about the devil. And when it comes to your life, because he's already done it through Jesus. Now, he expects us to know the truth and begin to operate that way. Well, Pastor Chris, come on, just keep on listening. You resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You already know he'll flee from God, but he's supposed to flee from you. So you have to resist him. You have to resist him. Amen. And so notice it says, submit yourself unto God. You know the number one way you submit, or let me say it like this. You know one way you submit yourself to God? By resisting the devil. Submitting yourself to God means you're going to obey what he said. It means you're going to resist the devil. Come on. You submit to God here by resisting the devil. That's how authority works. I'm going to say it again. Nowhere in the New Testament does it tell us to pray and ask God to do something about the devil. But it does tell us we're to exercise our authority over him. If we don't, Satan wins over us not because he's not a defeated foe or has superior power over us, but because we fail to exercise our God-given authority over him. If we don't exercise our authority, God can't, because he told us to do something about it. We can pray, we can even beg God to do something about what the devil is doing, but nothing will change because God gave the believer the authority over the devil and over everything that he's trying to do in our life. Woo, glory to God. That's who the devil is. So with that being said, hopefully it helps you to see that he is not a superior pro, but he is a defeated foe. We're called to enforce his defeat. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, the next time we come together, we're going to talk about some things that make this even clearer. But today, in closing, we're going to talk about the second question that I asked. Number one, who our real enemy is. We just answered that. Number two, what power he really has against us. We want to talk about that. What power he really has against us. What power the enemy, Satan, has against us as believers. We already know he holds the world in control, but to the believer, he's not to hold anything in us. Jesus said he came unto him, but he said he has nothing in me and no power over me. So if we're in Christ and Christ is in us, we should be able to say the same thing. He's coming to me, Satan has come to me, but he has nothing in us and no power over us. So we find Satan, our enemy, our adversary, and defeated foe. He is our enemy. He's our adversary and is a defeated foe. Everybody say defeated foe. So I got to get that in your mind. Well, I don't feel like he's a defeated foe, Pastor Chris. I know, this is why we're talking about it. Because you know the truth and the truth makes you free. It's not, listen, if you live by your feelings forever, you're carnal, and you'll never obtain what God has for you. We're not called to walk carnally. We're to live by faith. We're to walk by faith. That means to go by what the Word says. Believe what the Word says. Live by what the Word says. Amen. We live from the inside out, not from the outside in. So many times Christians are sense conscious. They're carnally conscious. Oh, I don't feel like God's with me today. No, you wake up and if you can have all kinds of feelings, they don't ask yourself how you feel. You tell yourself how you're going to feel. You wake up and look in the mirror and say, God lives in that man or woman. God is in me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm a new creature in Christ. Welcome to my world, devil. I'm the healed by Jesus' stripes. Pastor Chris, I would never say that. I know that's the problem. Well, I could say it, Pastor Chris, but I don't think it is true. Well, keep meditating on the Word of God until you just decide to agree with God. Because until you decide to agree with God, you'll get the old results. See, you got to believe God. You believe the devil long enough. This is why we got to renew our mind, because before I got saved, it was 24 years of my life that I believed the lie in the devil. And that didn't leave the moment I got off my knees and prayed and asked Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Everything changed spiritually, and I had an inheritance that belonged to me, but I still had to find out what was given to me, and I had to change this thinking so I could believe God and not by what my body was telling me, my past, because the voice of my future is not the echo of my past. All right, I'm trying to finish. So what power Satan has against us? We find Satan, our enemy, our adversary, and defeated foe works through. Let's put up slide 40. Satan works through. His power against us comes by, number one, deception. Number one, deception. That's how it comes. Smith Wigglesworth said it so well. He said, if the devil can't defeat you, he can't deceive you. Now, they're going to keep this up, so just listen to what I'm saying. You'll get the 3 points. Deception is Satan's number one tool. Let me read this to you. We got it there in Revelation 12:9. They don't have to put that up, I don't guess, or if they probably are going to, but that's fine. Verse 9 of Revelation 12, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Notice, he comes to deceive the whole world. He works through deception. That's his number one tool. If he can't deceive you, he can't defeat you. Number two, the second point of this, he works through ignorance. So let me be a little nicer, because a lot of times people get offended if you call them ignorant. So I'm not meaning that in a negative way. It is negative, but I'm not trying. It means lack of knowledge. Your lack of knowledge, your ignorance, or my ignorance concerning the Word of God is killing you. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Woo, glory to God. It goes on to say, because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you. Oh. And it gets worse. Thou priest, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God, will also forget thy children. So it talks about three things here. It talks about a lack of knowledge. It talks about rejected knowledge. And it talks about forgotten knowledge. This is why I congratulate you for being here today, because you know it just as good as I do. Christians, like Marilyn Hickey once said, Christians are leaky. And so what happens is, a lot of times we say, if we're honest with ourselves, say, "Ooh, I forgot that. Ooh, I forgot that. That's good. That's good, Pastor. I'm writing this down." Because if we don't meditate on it, it can slip. It can slip. It's not automatic. You don't live on yesterday's manna no more than the Old Testament saints did. Remember, they had to get it daily? Okay. Man shall not live by the bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it's what we do daily. Amen. So, and Isaiah, this lack of knowledge destroys our life. But Isaiah said it like this. He says, therefore, my people are going into captivity because they have no knowledge. Knowledge of God. The truth of God's word. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. So notice, the honorable men applied to the ones that should be teaching and sharing the word of God, and the ones that should be leading the flock and the congregation into the knowledge of God. If they ain't got it, then everybody's dried up. This is so important, church. Why? Because Satan works through his power against us. We need to know his power against us. Deception, number one. Number two, ignorance. And then number three is one that nobody likes to talk about. We already talked about it. Number three is consent. If you don't do something about the devil, Don't use your authority. You have consented to Him in your life. If you wake up in the middle of the night and don't do nothing about the pain, about the dream, or the horror that's come against you, then you've just consented to it. And the devil will torment you. And you give an open door. I can tell you story after story. And when I say story after story, a handful of stories where I woke up in the middle of the night under attack. And instead of getting up and rebuking it and standing against it till it's gone, I did a half-hearted job and fell back to sleep. And when I got up, I was not good. I have learned, and Pastor Debbie has learned, if you get attacked, there's times I know that just recently, I was sleeping real good. We get up in the morning. I get up very early, and Pastor Debbie does too. And then I come down after 3 hours, and I say, how'd you sleep last night? Well, you were sleeping real good. But I come under attack. I said, what you do? I got up, and I didn't know whether you saw I wasn't in there. Well, we know if we're not in there, something's going on. Either we're praying about something, or we're under attack in our body. She said, I had to get up, and I rebuked that thing. I knew what it was. I had to rebuke that thing, and she says, I had to rebuke it until it left, and I got back, and I had a good night's sleep. That's what you got to do. Why? Because if you don't, you consent to it. Get it in your mind. Well, I just don't believe that. Well, just go ahead and let the devil eat your cake and have it too. It's the truth. What you allow, God has to allow. Because He gave you authority. He gave me authority. Aren't you glad? You better be glad. Well, you better be glad He gave us authority. Hallelujah. As believers, we are to exercise. See, what if you don't resist the devil, the number one way we submit ourselves to God through obedience is by resisting the devil. You resist the devil. Because God can't resist him for you. You can ask God till you're blue in the face to do something about the devil, about that situation in your life. God's not going to. He's expecting you to do it. Stop asking God to do what He told you to do. Now, that's a revolutionary statement. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to tell us. I'm helping us. If you're a part of this church, that's not the first time you heard it. But I'm smart enough to realize I need to hear it all the time. Then you certainly need to hear it all the time. As believers, we are to exercise our God-given authority over the devil. God's power is released in and through our lives against the devil by the exercise of our authority. You know what power is? Power is God's might and ability. You know what authority is? It is the right to use that power. It is the exercise, the permission or right to exercise power on behalf of another. That's what authority is. It's the permission or right to exercise power on behalf of another, in this case, Jesus Himself. See, if we really realize that the devil, the reason he fights this so hard is because it's God's authority, Jesus' authority that you're using. That's why it works. And this is why he tries to dupe us to say, well, you know, I'm just a young Christian. You know, I've just. Stop saying I just and making all the excuse that the devil's put in your mind and get in the Word and start saying I am who God says I am. I am a new creature. I am righteous. I am healed. I am delivered. I have the mind of Christ. Come on. See, with God's power, God's given us, He's called us to use His authority because it's the mission, permission or right to exercise power that He's given us. It's His bite and His power, but He's given us the authority to use it. And the truth is, here's where we must understand. We have a responsibility. We must use or exercise our authority to live free, or we won't live free. And the reason the devil don't want you to be free, because if you're not free, you're not going to free nobody else. But if we understand He's given us power, and authority allows us to use that power, then we realize that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to exercise that authority against the enemy, live free, and help get other people free. Can I get an amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. Isn't God good? I said, isn't God good? Yeah. Satan is not a superior pro, but a defeated foe. Jesus defeated Satan in His death, burial, and resurrection, and through His shed blood. Jesus defeated Satan for us, and we are learning how to make his victory our victory in our everyday life by exercising our God-given authority. I'm not trying any longer to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. Jesus already defeated him. But I'm learning to walk in the victory that Jesus already won for me. See, when it says fight the good fight of faith, the fight of faith is the fight to stay in faith. And I do that by identifying with Jesus Christ and his triumph over Satan. I'm going to say it again. I'm not trying to defeat the devil. He's already defeated. As far as a believer is concerned, he's already defeated. I'm just walking in the victory that Jesus already won for me. And part of redemptive truth, everybody say redemptive truth, is realizing and knowing Satan is not a superior probe but a defeated foe in our lives. Or at least he's supposed to be. And the good news is he can be. Redemptive truth changes you and I. Why are we spending weeks on redemptive truth? Because redemptive truth changes you and I as we begin to think, talk, and act redemptively or in light of what Christ has done for us. You gotta think, talk, and act redemptively. Or in light of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Oh, I love it. See, every time that the devil did something against Jesus, Jesus defeated the devil. But what he did many times is you can't get directly to you who do something to somebody close to you. Like, remember when John the Baptist got beheaded? Said Jesus went off and prayed, and then next thing you know, he came back. And you know what he did? He acted redemptively. It said he healed the sick. He cast out devils. Come on. When he went to the temple and what was closest to his heart, this house is called, supposed to be a house of prayer. He turned over the money changers and then he got rid of the work of the devil. And instead of getting mad, he acted redemptively. He overcame evil with good. It says and all the sick and the lame came to him and he healed them. See, if we begin to think and talk and act redemptively or in the light of what redemption is proper, that's how we win. Why don't we all stand to our feet? Come on, Brother Ryan. We're gonna make a confession together, and then you're going to start playing, if you would, brother. Amen. Stand to me. You're going to sit back down in just one moment. We're almost finished. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a miracle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I hope you say it when we finish. Praise the Lord. Amen. Stand with me and say, I am a child of God. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I have eternal life. I have the mind of Christ. I don't have a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. I have world-overcoming faith on the inside of me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am a winner in Christ. I am not defeated. Satan is a defeated foe. And because of redemptive truth, I know he is a defeated foe. If God be for me, who can be against me? Thank you, Lord. I have the victory. I am the healed. I am the redeemed. I am the delivered. I am the set free. And Jesus is my Lord. I call the works of darkness bound. Ineffective, no longer a part of me. Body, I call you well. Mind, I call you sound. Spirit, I call you whole. I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now give God a shout of praise in this place and here today. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah. How many believe that Satan is a defeated foe and not a superior probe? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You may be seated. You know, before we leave here today, we just had a wonderful experience called discipleship. Being taught the Word of God so that our minds are renewed to the truth or redemptive truth so that our lives will be transformed. And they could, obviously, the majority of this congregation, even those that may be online today, could say that Jesus is their Lord. And in saying that, they know they have eternal life and they know what belongs to them, and they're better positioned today to walk in victory over a defeated foe. But I want us to understand, we also are here, we exist, not just to disciple, but to win the loss. We exist to win and disciple people to Christ. So I realize that there could be people here today that have never made Jesus the Lord of their life. Whether they knew that or not, they would be just like me who did not know this. But my life and every person's life that has not made Jesus the Lord of their life is under the control of the evil one. I could read scripture after scripture that lets us know that our thoughts and our minds are held captive by the things that, and suggestions, and the thoughts, and the pretenses, that, and the philosophies of this world that have gained entrance into our heart and our mind. It has separated us from God, that makes us enemies of Him through wicked works. Many people do not realize that you're either a child of God or a child of the devil. And sometimes people will get offended by knowing that if you call them a child of the devil. Well, Jesus called them that because He wants us to wake up. You know, I learned a long time ago not to be offended at the Word of God. If God said, if I did not have Him, I was a child of the devil, I didn't get offended by that. I said, oh my God, I need to get out of that camp and get into God's camp. So that's what I'm talking about today. This is about leaving the place you are in darkness or outside of the kingdom of God, even though you might not have known you've been serving Satan, and you might not even want to confess that. I get that. But the truth is, you're either a child of God or child of the devil. And there's only one way you become a child of God, and that is by repenting of your sins and calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm reminded of a story as heads are bowed, eyes are closed, and Christians praying.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.